Well, again, good morning and happy Sabbath to each of you. And I'd like to invite you just now as to bow your heads with me as we have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for the privilege that we have to be here these Sabbath hours to worship you and to honor you through our dedication of heart and mind. I ask, dear Lord, that you will pour out your Spirit upon each of us and that you would give us wisdom and insight to the word today and that the words that I speak today will once again glorify and honor you. I ask that you'll go up and down the aisles and throughout the midst of this congregation, touch each heart. And I pray, Lord, that you would draw close to their side this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today's message is inspired by an old song from Marvin Harpen Jennings. It says, "You can't stand on the promises if you don't know what they are." Well, I've listened to that song several times, and I just recently heard that on the radio this last week, and I found it kind of comical in that as Christians, if we claim to be Christians, as we claim to walk by faith and to honor God and to march towards Zion in preparation for His soon return, how can we stand on the promises if we don't know what they are? In other words, if we're not spending time in the Word, if we're not spending time studying His Word, and we don't know His promises, we surely can't stand on them, and we can't assure ourselves in them unless we know them for certainty. Well, I'd like you to turn with me to Psalms 119 today, our scripture reading for this morning, that we had this morning, Psalms 119, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 12. Again, that's Psalms 119 and verses 9 through 12. Psalms 119, again, verses 9 through 12. And I'm sure you're familiar with these verses, but for sake today, we'll look at them once again. Psalms 119, verses 9 through 12. The Bible says here, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Well, he says, "By taking heed according to thy word." Today we're going to spend some time looking at the Bible. It's been a long time since I have preached a sermon in regards to the Bible and the Scripture, but I want to encourage us once again today and challenge us by looking at the Word of God again and seeing its effect in our personal lives as well the importance of us spending time in God's Word. And of course, I have a couple of quotes that I want to share with you, a couple of Bible scriptures, some scriptures that you're familiar with. But most of all, I hope today as you leave this congregation that you'll recognize that spending time in God's Word is important for you to grow spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, and so forth. But looking back here, verse 9, he says, "Where shall a man cleanse his way?" In other words, how do we live a righteous life? How do we live a holy life? Well, the rest of the verse here says, "By taking heed according to thy word." In other words, we need to take time in looking at God's Word. How do we find cleansing? How do we find that? How do we find the ability to overcome sin, to find forgiveness of sins and all those things? Friends, we've got to come back to the Word of God. Amen? Let's read on here. Verse 10. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy," what? Verse 10. "Let me not wander from thy commandments." Well, number one, how shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy way. By taking heed according to the word. And how shall we walk in the narrow way? By taking heed to the commandments of God. As we well know today that many of the congregations today, many churches today, many religions today, if you will, have trampled upon God's Word, especially the Ten Commandments, and as well, as we know, the Fourth Commandment, keeping the seventh-day Sabbath, and so forth. But if we're going to walk in the narrow way, we need to keep God's commandments. Well, where do we find God's commandments? We find that in Exodus chapter 20. We find that in the Word of God. "Thou shalt not have any other gods before me," and so on and so forth. "Thou shalt not kill," "Thou shalt not steal," and so on. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," and honor the Sabbath, and you know, honor, and so on and so forth. Well, the Bible is the establishment by which you and I grow in grace and walk forward to the heavenly kingdom. Well, coming back here, looking, he says, how shall a man cleanse his way? Number one, by taking heed according to his word. Number two, how do we walk in the narrow way? By keeping the commandments. And then notice verse 11, a powerful tool for us here today, and I'm sure many of you have this memorized, but he says here, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not," what? "Sin against thee." So in other words, if we're going to shun sin, if we're going to be victorious from sin, we need to take God's word and put it in our hearts. And how do we do that? How did David do that? He memorized Scripture. In fact, we see that by example through the life and testimony of Jesus. When Jesus met Satan on that ground during the 40 nights and of fasting and prayer and so forth in the wilderness, how did Jesus meet the temptations of Satan? He said, "It is written." In other words, Jesus had the Word of God, He had the Bible stored up in His heart to resist temptation. If you and I are going to be overcomers of sin, then we need to take time to put God's Word and hide it in our heart. And how do we do that? Memorizing Scripture. It's a powerful tool to battle off or to ward against the enemy. Now, verse 12, it says, "Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes." Well, in other words, Lord, teach me. Let me learn from you. But how do we do this? We do it by spending time in God's Word. Now, I want to move on, take another step here for us. As we establish here, number one, how do we find cleansing? We look at God's Word. How do we find forgiveness of sins? How do we overcome sin? By spending time in God's Word. How do we overcome sin and find victory in our lives? How do we wrestle against the challenges of this life? By memorizing Scripture and using it as a tool, as a weapon for us. I want to take an example here, found in Ephesians chapter 6, if you'll turn there with me. And you're familiar with these verses in Ephesians chapter 6 about the armor of God. Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, and especially starting in verse 12, the Bible says, and Paul is stating here, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers of the rulers of the darkness of this world. And he says basically this, we wrestle against wicked spirits in the heavenly places. Our controversy that you and I are in is against good and evil. We have a choice to serve God, or we have a choice to serve evil. And we have to make a conscious decision every day. But don't you want to live a victorious life? Don't you want to be victorious in your daily walk with the Lord? Don't you want to be a daily overcomer over sin and temptation? If you do, why not start today and live the overcoming life that you want and that God wants for you? It's amazing what we see in Scripture over and over and over again is that God has a plan for you to be victorious in this life in preparation for His soon return. Do you realize that the power of God and for Jesus dying on the cross for us, He gave His life so that we can be an overcomer of sin and temptation in this present world? Well, Paul comes back here and he says, look, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against wicked spirits in the heavenly places. Our battle that we are caught up in, whether we like it or not, is between good and evil, and we have to make a choice. But Paul goes on here, and turn with me, if you will, still, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and verse 13, he says, since we are in this battle, he says, take unto you, verse 13, the whole armor of God. And you're familiar with these verses again, I'm sure. You take on the whole armor of God. What soldier goes out into battle without his armor? If the guy was running around in his underwear out in the middle of a battlefield, you would look with a little content and wonder what's wrong with this fellow. So when we go out into a battlefield, we take the whole armor. And when we are in battle, we need to gird ourselves, we need to protect ourselves because the enemy is going to attack. Amen? I mean, that's just a known fact. We expect attacks from the enemy. But notice what he says here. Verse 13, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having on your feet the shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, where you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, and notice what he says here, the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. So if we're going to go into battle, if we are caught up in a daily battle between good and evil, if we are in the conflict between good and evil and a great controversy, God says, and through the inspiration of Paul, he says, go forward, take on the armor of God when you go out into this battle, but most importantly, take with you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, if we're going to be overcomers in this world, if we're going to be victorious in this battle between good and evil, we must have our sword with us. Amen? We must have our weapon. We cannot go into this battle without a weapon. And Jesus met that very battle in the garden. He met that very battle when he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights in his fast. He met the temptations and the struggles, but he held on to the Word of God. And friends, that is the key to us today. The Word of God is what sets us free and liberates us from the temptations and the snares of the devil. Amen? So we must take the sword of the Spirit with us, which is the Word of God. Friends, let me ask you this question today. Is your sword sharp? Have you spent time sharpening the sword lately? When I was younger, in my teenage years, actually it started long before my teenage years ever hit, but when I was about 5 or 6 years old, my grandfather gave me a little tiny bitty pocket knife, and it had some pearl siding on it. It was a pretty neat little pocket knife. And every time I would go over to my grandfather's house, he would inevitably now and then hand me a pocket knife, and I began having a collection of pocket knives. Well, all of a sudden, my love for knives grew, and as a teenager, I began collecting all kinds of knives. I collected pocket knives, Bowie knives, all kinds, and I had all kinds of knives all over the place. And one meticulous thing I would do was making sure that my knife was sharp. I would use that stone and sharpen my knife and spray the WD-40 on the knife to wetten it, and I would sharpen it both ways. And boy, I wanted to make sure that I could slice a piece of paper like a razor. And have you spent time sharpening your sword? If we're meticulous about the weapons in this world, how about being meticulous in the Word of God to stand against the enemy? We wonder sometimes, how come I'm always beaten up? How come I'm always beaten up with temptation and trial? How come I'm always floored to the ground and it seems like the devil's always getting his way? Friends, have you spent time in sharpening the sword to combat the enemy? That's the key to success, to finding victory in your personal life, the Word of God. Now, as Paul stated, he says, take unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I want to use a little illustration here today to give us an example of how powerful this tool can be for us in overcoming the sin and temptation of this world. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We're just going to look at one verse, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Notice again what the writer says here in verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So here once again we have an illustration that the word of God is a two-edged sword and it's sharp. Well, friends, when we enter into the battle, the conflict, God gives us the armor. But most importantly, as we go into the battle, go into the conflict, he gives us the word of God. Friends, we cannot go out into the battle and the struggles of temptation in this life unless we have the Bible with us. Amen? Friends, that's what the Adventist faith is built upon, the Word of God. And friends, they overcame because of the Word of God. They established themselves because of the Word of God. They walked by faith because of what the Bible said. It didn't matter what other people taught or what other people shared. It's what the Word of God meant. And if you'll notice here, verse 12, once again, it says, for the Word of God is quick and is powerful. Do you want power and victory in your life? Do you want power and meaning in your life? Then, friends, take heed to the Word of God. Sharpen your sword. Put the Word of God in your heart. Now, notice what he goes on to say. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, the sword is a powerful tool, and, friends, it can hurt. Amen? Well, when we read the Bible, obviously, it shows us and reveals our inconsistencies. It shows us our sins. It shows us our faults. And when it does that, the only hope that the Bible reveals to us when we find ourselves in a hopeless situation, filled with sin and content and so forth, is we must turn to Jesus. The only hope is found in Christ when our sins are revealed in our lives. So when the Bible reveals to us our sins, it also empowers us to and reveals to us the need of something greater than ourselves, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can forgive us of sins. Amen? And so, the sword of the Word of God, which is the Word of God, is powerful. We can use it to combat the enemy. We can use it to overcome sin. We can use it to find peace and promise and hope. And I want to go back to that old song that Marvin Harp and Jennings used to sing, you can't stand on the promises if you don't know what they are. Friends, have you used the tool that God has given you? Are you using it on a regular basis? What do we know about the Bereans? The Bible says at the Berean in the book of Acts that they studied the Bible daily, wanting to know and desiring to see if these things were so. Have we spent time in the Word on a regular basis? Is your spiritual life becoming dead? Maybe it's because of lack of Bible study. Is your spiritual life waning? Do you find yourself needing more? Or are you finding your life being filled with inconsistencies? Well, I challenge you to open the Word of God again. Well, I think we've discovered this here today, that God's Word is a powerful tool. And I'm sure that you're aware that you're here today because you believe in the Word of God. But I want to take you to one more verse here that I know you're familiar with. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And again, I know you know these verses, but let's look at them again today together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Notice what he says here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture. In other words, the Bible is faithful from Genesis all the way to Revelation, but also, too, it's given by inspiration. Inspiration of who? It's the inspiration of God. So, friends, when we read the Bible, when we study the Bible, it's the very voice of God speaking to us, speaking to our hearts. You know, don't take it candidly. Take the Bible study in your personal life seriously, because this is God's way of communicating to us. I've had people tell me, you know, I've never heard God's voice before, or how come I never seem to hear God's voice? Well, I ask the question then, have you spent time in God's Word? Because it's God's Word and how He communicates to us. The Bible, this is how God communicates to us on a personal level. And have you ever found it interesting that we may be studying the same thing, and we may be going through the same chapter, we may be studying the same lessons, but how come so many people get different ideas or different impressions about that particular verse? I believe it's because the Holy Spirit is communicating to the heart. How many times, I'm standing in the back here of the sanctuary, and as people pass by and they shake my hands and, you know, they say, oh, this sermon was great, and then they begin to tell me why, and then another person will come by and they'll tell me this sermon was a good message, and then they'll begin to tell me, oh, I impacted them. It's interesting that two or three different people can have a whole different idea or a whole different meaningful impact in their personal life of what they've heard. Friends, I believe that it's the Holy Spirit and God speaking to the heart. And it's amazing, when we spend time in God's Word, God communicates to the heart in different ways. He tells us what we need. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. Any of you want to be perfect today? You know, I have that desire, you know. The Bible is given to us so that we can be perfect. Thoroughly, he says, furnish unto all good works. Well, friends, don't go into the battle without your sword. Amen? You need your sword. One last point here that I want to illustrate today that's found in the Scripture. If you want to get to know Jesus, study the Word. How so? Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 1, verse 14. The Gospel, John. John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Notice this, the Word was made what? The Word was made flesh. In other words, friends, God, Jesus, came to this world and revealed in life and form the Bible itself. In other words, friends, if we want to get to know Jesus, then we must spend time in the Word. Jesus is our only companion, our only hope of salvation. Without Him, we can do nothing. And so Jesus is noted as becoming the Word made flesh. If you want to get to know Jesus, spend time in the Word. Have you found that your relationship with Christ has been separated? Or have you felt a gap? Have you felt some separation, maybe some separation anxiety in your personal life with the lack of Christ? Has it been because you haven't spent time in the Word of God? Are you desiring a closer walk with Jesus? Are you desiring a closer walk with Him? If you are, spend time in the Word. Notice also, too, Jesus says this in John chapter 5, same book. John chapter 5 here, verse 39. He says this in verse 39, "Search the Scriptures," He says, "and they are they which testify of Me." In other words, searching the Scriptures, you will find Jesus. Do you want a closer walk with Christ? Do you want a victorious life in Jesus? Then search the Scriptures. Listen for the voice of Jesus speaking to your heart as you study His Word. Do you want to fall in love with Jesus? Spend time in the Bible. Do you want to have a closer walk with Jesus? Spend time in the Bible. I have a couple of quotes here today that I want to share with you. I believe they're pertinent for us today. This one is found in Volume 5 of the Testimonies. It says this: "Do we receive the Bible as the oracle of God?" In other words, do we receive it as the words of God? It is as really a divine communication as though its words came to us in an audible voice. We do not know its preciousness because we do not obey its instructions. Let me backtrack here. Do we receive the Bible as the oracle of God? In other words, the very words of God. Notice what she says here. It is really a divine communication as though its words came to us in audible voice. In other words, the Bible is the very audible voice of God. Do you want to hear God speak to you? Then spend time in His Word. Do you want to hear the voice of Jesus? Spend time in His Word. Do you want to know about God and His character and His love for you? Spend time in the Word. We're also told, too, that there is a golden thread that runs throughout the Scriptures. And I have a quite lengthy paragraph here, if you don't mind, but it's found in Selected Messages. It says, "There is not always perfect order or apparent unity in the Scriptures. The miracles of Christ are not given in exact order, but are given just as the circumstances occurred, which called for this divine revealing of the power of Christ. The truths of the Bible are pearls hidden. They must be searched, dug out by painstaking effort. Those who take only a surface view of the Scriptures will, with their superficial knowledge, which they think is very deep, talk of the contradictions of the Bible and question the authority of Scriptures. But those whose hearts are in harmony with truth and duty will search the Scriptures with a heart prepared to receive divine impressions. The illuminated souls see a spiritual unity, one grand golden thread running through the whole, but it requires patient thought and prayer to trace out the precious golden thread." Hear what she's saying? There's a golden thread that's weaved throughout all Scriptures. "Sharp contentions over the Bible have led to investigations and revealed the precious jewels of truth. Many tears have been shed, many prayers offered that the Lord would open the understanding of His Word." You hear what she's saying here? She's saying the Bible is a powerful tool, obviously, but she's saying there's a golden thread that many have desired to understand through prayer. Friends, we may not always understand everything we read, but through prayer and supplication, God will give us wisdom. But most importantly, this is where I want you to catch on today. One is that the Bible is the audible voice of God. If you want to hear God speak, read the Bible. Secondly, there's a golden thread that's weaved throughout Scripture. And she makes a remarkable statement about what that golden thread is. Notice this. Found in Review and Herald. She says this: "Christ, His character and work, is the center and circumference of all truth. He is the chain upon which the jewels of doctrine are linked. In Him is found the complete system of truth." What is that golden thread that is weaved throughout Scripture? Friends, it's Jesus. Now think about it for just a moment. This works perfect harmony with Scripture. In Genesis, the very moment that Adam and Eve partook of the fruit that they shouldn't have, what happened? There was a sacrifice that took place. The Bible says that God clothed them with cloaks of skin. And friends, who does that sacrifice symbolize and point to? It points to Jesus. And when you get all the way down through the book of Revelation, how are the saints victorious? They're victorious through the blood of Christ. And who comes again? It's Jesus. Through the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is a revelation of Jesus Christ. So friends, the Bible is an inspired word given from God, handed down to us so that we can have a relationship with the divine God of the universe. Friends, that is a powerful weapon right there in of itself. How do we combat the enemy? Through the Word of God. How do we come into a closer walk with Jesus? Through the study of His Word. Oh, friends, it's my desire that each of us here today will come into a closer walk with Jesus, that we will leave empowered today, finding in within our midst, within our palms of our hands here, the very words of God Himself. And friends, if may be, the Holy Writ that points to us the salvation and the hope that we can have found only in Christ. Do you want a relationship with Christ? Do you want to grow in Jesus? Then I challenge you today to study His Word, spend time in His Word, and grow in His grace. Oh, friends, let's march to Zion together. Let's hide His Word in our hearts so that we can be victorious. Let's lead a victorious life. Let's live the victorious life and point other people to Christ. But friends, I encourage you today to open the Bible, and there you will find Jesus. I invite you to pray with me, if you will, today. Our Father in heaven, we thank You once again for the Word of God. We thank You that it's a tool for us to empower us to be victorious in this life, to overcome the fiery darts of the wicked one, that we also too may be victorious in our personal lives, that we might find the how to live a perfect life. We thank You, Jesus, that in the Word of God, You are the golden thread that is weaved throughout Scripture. You are that in the Word of God is the audible voice where we can hear Your voice. I pray, Lord, that through the study of our Word, the Bible here today, that we will draw into a closer walk with You, that our hearts will be changed, that we will be revived, and that our spirits will be lifted so that, Jesus, we can see You as You really are. Open our eyes, Lord. Give us wisdom. Help us not just to have a superficial understanding of Scripture, but let us dig deep for the pearls that are hidden between these pages. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us the Bible, that we can hear Your voice and know what truth is, and that we can find peace and comfort, and that we can find promises to stand upon. Help us to be those people that hide those promises within our hearts so that we can follow and serve You and so that we can have peace for the trying times to come. We thank You, dear Jesus, for forgiving us and loving us and giving us peace. And this all I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.